Good morning, folks, or good evening, folks, or good afternoon, or good middle of the night to you folks out there that are listening to this thing. We're going to look at some comparisons between a King James Bible and modern Bibles, which there's hundreds and hundreds of websites that do such. They show all the different verses that are changed, and they go, it's a whole, that's not the point of this particular message, though, or sermon, or talk, or whatever. I want to show you more specifically the great theft, and yes, salvation is being robbed of all, religion just robs people of their salvation. And that is a great theft, no doubt about it. But I do believe that the biggest theft over all this is the theft of the teachings of the risen Savior through the Apostle Paul. Now, that's the most important theft. That's the greatest theft. That's the biggest theft. That's the thieviest theft, because that does not only involve salvation, it brings in the Antichrist with his religion, and it has people who think they're Christians actually can be proved that they are not Christians. So, yes, salvation, Bibles, all these things, there's a bunch of things that have been stolen over time, and yes, religion has stolen this from people. The King James Bible has been stolen from people. Yes, I understand all that. And my website, scatteredchristians.org, has plenty of studies in there if anybody doesn't believe that or wants to look into it, get some details. But this particular theft, this is taking away the teachings of the risen Savior, which, bottom line, is taking away the risen Savior. I mean, people believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but their pastors and their books and their video Bible studies teach the teachings of Jesus when he was on the earth to the Jews. They do not, and not only do they do not, they hate to even talk about the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul. Not the 12 apostles, but Paul. So yes, that's what I consider to be the greatest theft of all kind, and the greatest global theft, because it does involve everybody in the world. Eventually, we know that's the goal. But anyway, just a sidelight here, by the way, this great theft began in the Baptist foreign mission world, by the way. That's another sermon, another talk, and the information is on the website. So let's go through some Bibles this morning. And let's look at a King James Bible, what it says about Paul's verses that are important for Paul. And look and see what an NIV, most of my illustrations are NIV, just made it simple for me and for my studies and myself and that type of thing. You can pick them up in any modern Bible and they're going to do the same thing. These words, the words that the risen Savior taught to Paul, these inspired and preserved words, which, by the way, any modern Bible does not teach scriptural preservation, which we'll see in a minute. These words, as you see on the website page, have been stolen, corrupted, taken, embezzled, filched, hijacked, lifted, misappropriated, pinched, poached, purloined, robbed, snatched, swiped, abducted, appropriated, kept, kidnapped, sacked, bagged, diverted, plagiarized, ripped off, and shanghaied. Those are the only ones I can think of for thieving. Now, Paul says to us today, receive us. That's Paul and his gang there, Barnabas and that bunch. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. And yet they look at us and Paul's teachings as the enemy and the false gospel. He says in Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, 2 Corinthians, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The whole battle is with our mind and flesh, Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about. And then 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we've got some pretty good assurances from Paul that he's not some fluky, flaky minister out there teaching false gospel to people. But now here's a warning before we get into this. If you want to reject this stuff, and you're more than welcome to do so, but these words from Paul will not always be to you. If you want to get through the tribulation or the hour of temptation, as it's called in Revelation 3, then Paul's teachings will no longer apply to you. You'll be looking at Revelation chapter 14, 6 to 12 for your gospel, for your teachings. Although by then I imagine your pastors will probably get you back to Paul's Gospels and dispensation of grace, but you'd be in the wrong dispensation. But enough of that bunny trail stuff here. We're going to compare King James Bible and NIV verses. And you'll notice that some of the changes, They're really small. It's not that big a deal. But just remember, they had to make some kind of changes. I forgot what the percentage was, 70 or 80% or 60%. I forgot what it was. But in order to get a copyright on an NIV or an ASV or an RSV or all the newer Bibles today, they had to make changes from the King James Bible, by the way. They all had to be a change that were taken from the King James Bible. And in order to claim that copyright, they had to have certain number of words changed. So you're going to wonder, why did they change this word to that? What's the point? Well, in some cases, there is no point other than it's just a marketing issue. But then again, if you look at some of those words, as and like, of and for and from, that type of thing, if you think about it for a couple seconds, which we won't take the time to do here today, but if you think about some of those small words, there is still a difference in there. You'll also notice that when we go through some of these verses, you know, that these modern Bibles claim that the words will be simpler in an NIV or an ASV, RSV, QSV, TV, whatever, you know. They will be made simpler. But you will see that some of the words, now why did you have to change that? Because that looks a little bit more complicated. We got children and young adults and middle-aged adults, and even adults that are not the greatest readers in the world. And a lot of these modern Bibles, I should say, these modern Bibles in a lot of places actually make the words more complicated. And I could get into the Wahib and the Sutfa instead of the Red Sea. I can get into a bunch of stuff. Again, that's on the website. But this is already a long enough introduction. It's typical for me, right, folks out there in the website? This is almost a 7-minute introduction. But what we're going to be looking at this morning, or this evening, or in the middle of the night, or whatever, are going to be the major doctrinal changes, which obviously would be called an error, that's obvious. So, let's get into this thing here this morning. These are the verses which contain the very words of Paul, which were given these words by the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, King James. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. NIV, here we go. Now, you're probably going to have, it would be better for you if you were to look at these, print off the thing, and compare back and forth with the Scriptures right in front of you, instead of having to hear me talk about the NIV, because you kind of forget what the King James said. So it's still best to do this on a paper-pencil study. NIV, every Scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. That's an ASV reference there, by the way. Okay, let's look at that just for a minute. Every Scripture inspired of God. Okay, so that's telling you that your Bible is not all Scripture. King James, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And ASV and every other others say every Scripture inspired of God. So, if some of the verses in that Bible are not Scripture, which pastors and preachers and teachers and professors and Sunday school teachers will say, then only those that are Scripture are inspired of God. Is your Bible all Scripture or some of it? If it's some of it, you've been hoodwinked, you've had the King James Bible stolen from your hands. Anyway, then it says here, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. Oh, so it's not just instruction in righteousness, it's instruction which is in righteousness. Takes away the depth and the seriousness of that particular instruction. Again, you've got to sit down and look at these for a little bit, and you'll start to see the depth of the correction here. That the man of God may be complete. Well, what's wrong with the word perfect? Well, does that mean sinless? We've done everything right. We don't walk with our sins anymore. No, perfect. They're close when they say complete, but the actual scriptural definition of perfect is finished. Complete doesn't necessarily mean finished. Complete, furnished completely. How about perfect, truly furnished? I mean, God changes us. He makes us into His righteousness. And yes, then we're made perfect. And yet our works someday will be judged, judgment seat of Christ, and then that will be the final perfection. But to be complete, that doesn't say it near as good. Completely unto every good work, or truly furnished unto all good works. Small change? Think about it. Every good work or all good works? There's still a difference in there. Well, we got to leave Paul just for a second, just to show folks. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, them, modifying back to the words of the Lord, makes total sense, which is why the importance of grammar, it should be taught to our children, because they can realize that thou shalt keep them is referring back to the words of the Lord, or pure words, silver, tried, and furnace. That's all it's talking about in 12, 6, and 7 are the words of the Lord. And Psalm 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God, that's the promise where God says, listen, these words that I inspired and breathed to you, I'm going to preserve them from this generation forever. Now, it just happens to be that no other Bible says that. Really? Yes, listen to this. I think we're going to be in the NIV from here on out. And the words of the Lord are flawless. That's not quite as pure as pure would be, but like silver purified in a crucible. No. This is so frustrating. As silver or like silver? As silver versus like silver. No. As shows an existence of silver. Like silver just means it's kind of like it. Like silver purified in a crucible. What in the world is a crucible? How many people know what a crucible is? Again, this is an example of they say that they're making the words more simple or simpler from a King James Bible. What is so hard about furnace of earth? A crucible? Anyway, like gold refined seven times. And yet it says in King James, purified seven times. Not like, but those words are purified. There is a process that's taken place over history that brought us the King James Bible. They are purified. They are pure words. They're not just flawless, and they're not like gold. Anyway, then it says, this is the big one. Thou shalt keep them, King James, referring to the words of the Lord. Yet all the other Bibles say in some form or another, you, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked. Total doctrinal change. That's the verse that just rips away, steals the King James Bible, the words of the Lord that are pure and preserved. No other Bible says that. Well, no wonder the devil hates the King James Bible. It's no wonder pastors hate the King James Bible. These are the words that have been preserved. And their Bible says, well, the Lord will keep the needy safe. Well, first of all, look at the needy people that are out there. Are they all safe? And it will protect us forever from the wicked? Are there not Christians out there being attacked from the wicked, from the media, from the news standpoint? Sure there's Christians being, I thought they were supposed to be protected. It's the words of the Lord that are preserved. Anyway, I could just talk on that. Let's get back to Paul again. I should have started off with that one, I suppose. Let's get back to Paul here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 8 to 10. This is something Paul says, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, that Paul is referring here to the King James Bible. Really? Well, sure, let me show you why. Charity never faileth in verse 8, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Okay, let's stop there. Modern Bible say love, they always change charity to love. Love never fails, for where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Now look at this. King James Bible, prophecies shall fail. They just say the prophecies will cease. There's a difference. Something, they're going to stop their prophecies, or they're going to fail. So if all these people today are preaching prophecies, preachings and teachings and stuff, without the Word of God, which is what this has to be about, then those prophecies shall fail. They certainly aren't being stopped. They certainly aren't ceasing. Then it says, where there are tongues, they will be stilled. No, the tongues, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Speaking in tongues is over. It's done with. It isn't that they're just stilled. They're done. They're ceased. They're stopped. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Something that's passed away still exists, but it's passed away. King James says the knowledge, it will vanish away. What are we talking about here? We are talking about prophecies, which is preachings and teachings, speaking in tongues, and we are talking about knowledge. Just all around now, we're talking about knowledge that doesn't come from a Bible. I'll show you what I mean. Now, this will make more sense if we get into 9 and 10, and I'll show you why this has to be the King James Bible. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Okay, NIV says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Well, congratulations, they didn't change anything. Wonder why not. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Done away, no longer, gone, kaputzed. Okay, now, NIV says, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. No. Okay, this cannot be the coming of Jesus Christ. When that which is perfect is come, that cannot be referring to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has already come. Okay? So, if he's talking about Jesus Christ on his second coming, then verse 8 does not affect anybody today. There are still prophecies, there is still speaking in tongues, and there is still a knowledge given to people without that which is perfect is come, which would be the King James Bible, Word of God. And so these people today, I mean, they act like this. They think that their prophecies, which God gives them in their hearts and their minds and their feelings, they think that still speaking in tongues is fine. And they think that God still gives them this knowledge, which God did give to Paul and did give to those people. And I believe that there was speaking in tongues during those days. Why would Paul talk about the rules of speaking in tongues in Corinthians 14? And there were prophecies that God gave to these people to preach. They did not have a Bible. They did not have the written scriptures. They were in the process of being purified seven times. So when it came down to a King James Bible, that thing right there preserved, and we got this thing from generation to generation. Although in the tribulation, Amos chapter 8 says there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God, but we'll get into that another day on the website. For then with that which is perfect is come. That cannot be referring to the coming of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, like I say, verse 8 is still in existence, which we know is not true. All you Bible believers out there, all you King James guys, you preach that tongues are gone and all that stuff. And yet you sound Pentecostal when you preach about God gives you this message. God gives you these ideas. God gives you. All he does, if he gives it to you through your King James Bible, from your studies and your reading, if you've got scriptures in your heart and in your mind and you remember these things, sure, God can show you some stuff. No doubt about that. But what Paul's talking about, remember now, Paul has seen Jesus Christ. He's seen the risen Savior. And that one time where Paul went up to be with him for a little bit, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, God showed Paul, because he came back and said, listen, I heard some things I can't talk about, so not utter. And those, I think one of the things that Paul was shown, you know, someday, Paul, I'm going to put everything I've taught you, everything that you have said, I'm going to put this New Testament doctrine, which only comes about by the death of the testator, by the way, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, I think it is. I'm going to put that into a book. I'm going to give that to the people down there. And then he says, so when that thing comes around, then all this knowledge and all this prophecy, all the speaking in tongues, it's going to vanish away. It's done. They'll fail. They'll cease. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, there you are, verse 8, shall be done away. So all that stuff is done away. Do they disappear? No, they're still around. People talk about it all the time. But they're supposed to be done away. Are tongues just stilled? No, they cease. There are differences there in those smaller words. But what I really want you to see is when that which is perfect, finished, that Bible is done. The scriptures are done, inspired, perfect. And I hear you King James guys say, yeah, I'll be my Bible to be perfect. And you're talking about the fact that there's no errors. No, that which is perfect is come. That's the King James. It's finished. No other Bible is necessary. No other words are needed to be added to this thing. Okay, so there's that about 1 Corinthians. I could go on about that for a long time. Because I'm telling you, I hear King James guys, I hear you King James only people out there bragging all the time about this Bible which is perfect, and yet if you look up the verse that talks about that which is perfect is come, if that's referring to Jesus Christ in your mind, then tongues and prophecies and all this knowledge from above is still going on. And if you don't believe in that stuff, then you might as well say to people, this Bible which is perfect, that means that which is perfect has come. That means speaking in tongues. that means speaking in tongues and all this prophecy and this knowledge, it's done. That which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part shall be done away. And that point, Paul, that was in the future to Paul. But he knew it was coming. And the NIV Bible totally destroys all that stuff. Unbelievable. Okay, that's how King James I am, by the way, listeners out there. Okay, let's go on here. This is all from Paul. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15-16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Now, that's the scripture that tells us how to read our Bible and understand rightly dividing. The Old Testament, that's not written to me, but it's there for me. The Gospels, those are written to the Jews. Those aren't written for me. Paul's books are written to me. And the tribulation books, Hebrews to Jude, are written to the people during the tribulation, to the Jews. Hebrews is written to the Jews. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You can't go to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and apply those scriptures to us today. Those will be applied, those will be applicable during the tribulation. That's rightly dividing. And besides that, I could go into that for a long time, but the website is full of that. Look at this. Study to show thyself. You know what you're going to do when you rightly divide your scriptures, when you rightly divide the word of truth? If you study those, you are going to show thyself, that you're approved unto God. There's no reason for you to be ashamed, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why not? Because Christ has made you his righteousness. God has taken care of sin. It's not even imputed. So you study the King James Bible, you rightly divide that thing, you will find out that you are approved unto God. There is no reason, no matter what you've done in your flesh and your day-to-day stuff that's wrong as such, according to Paul's teachings, Romans 2:16, you have no reason to be ashamed. God took care of all that. Okay. Now the second application for 2 Timothy 2:15-16, he says to shun profane and vain babblings. So anything that is not rightly divided is profane and vain babblings. They're awful. They're pointless. They're vain. They're profane. They're that bad. It says, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. What is they? Well, those vain and profane babblings. Okay. So there's the two applications for those. Now let's look at what an NIV says. Listen to this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Puts the whole Christian walk back on the walk to be saved. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. No, I'm sorry. God has made me approved unto God. You've got to study Romans chapter 6 correctly, of course. And you've got to understand Galatians. You've got to understand the faith of Jesus Christ. Simple stuff. But to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Handles the word of truth? That's amazing. And by the way, no other Bible tells you to study it. King James Bible tells you to study. Okay, study to show thyself approved. Show yourself that you're approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how you study. And my website has oodles of studies for you to study. Or just sit down and study your Bible rightly divided. You don't need me. Just look at your King James Bible and rightly divide that thing. And quit trying to apply 1st, 2nd, 3rd John to your life. Quit trying to apply Jude to your life. Don't go into Hebrews, written to the Hebrews. Don't try to pull anything out of there to apply to your life. Now, you need to study those books because they're there, still there for you. Sure, you need to study the law and Moses and all those miracles that took place. You need to go back to Adam and Eve. Sure, you're just there for us. We learn from those things. But don't try to apply them to your life. You'll be a very frustrated Christian, and if you're even a Christian at all. And if your pastor tries to put them on there, walk out the door and say, I'm out of here, adios, or whatever language takes over our country you have to use, sayonara or whatever. Well, the sayonara ended when World War II was over, so it's going to have to be adios, I suppose, the way things are looking. So anyway, they just destroy. And then listen to this. Instead of saying shun profane and vain babblings, NIV says avoid godless chatter. because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. No, I'm sorry, professors. That Bible says, shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase, those profane and vain babblings will increase people unto more ungodliness. Not just those who are reading it and speaking it. Avoid godless chatter. How about profane and vain babblings? I would go with that much more important. Acts 18, I can tell I'm going to have to make a couple out of this series, aren't I here? Nothing new to my regular listeners. Acts 18, verse 26. This is a good one. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. NIV. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, here's the deal. The way of God. Jesus taught the way of God. No doubt. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all say similar. Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, but teachest the way of God truly. Okay? So, Jesus taught the way of God. Now, Paul teaches and preaches the way of God more perfectly. Meaning, there's more now. There's more to finish the story. What Paul teaches and what's in this King James Bible, it's the way of God more perfectly. Now there's more to the picture. It's the risen Savior's teachings. It's the New Testament way of God more perfectly. But if they say, explain to him the way of God more adequately, that means that Priscilla and Aquila just told him about the way of God just a little better than the apostles are able to do it, more adequately. Do you see the theft going on here? The way of God more perfectly is with Paul. The way of God more perfectly is because of Jesus Christ, after he died and rose again, went to Paul, taught him the way of God more perfectly. And these people are expounding, they're preaching, they're getting into it. The way of God more perfectly. NIV Bible says, nah, they just explained it a little better than the apostles were able to do. That's crazy. Absolutely craziness. How are we doing on time? 27 minutes. I think I'm going to do one more, and then I'm going to have to break this up into a part 2 and part 3, part 4, I suppose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Okay? NIV. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now this is going back to the gifts of God in Corinthians. During Paul's day, these gifts were the gifts that were given to people. That's where you get into, you know, look at those things. That's another sermon. But now Paul is saying, yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way. I mean, you know, those gifts, that Paul talks about the gifts that are given to us in the dispensation of grace after that which is perfect is come, is in Romans chapter 12, not 1 Corinthians 12. You have to be careful with Corinthians because you have to remember what Paul is teaching and the things that are happening during those Corinthians days happened from God directly because they didn't have a King James Bible. Now that we have a King James Bible, the things that are given within the Corinthians are given to us through the King James Bible. I say to people, listen, you even have to rightly divide Corinthians. You have to understand that. Otherwise, you'll still find yourself caught up in speaking in tongues, you know, that kind of stuff. The Lord's Supper, communion, all that stuff. You've got to understand Corinthians and where it comes before the King James Bible and then afterwards. But anyway, NIV says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. What is the most excellent way? That means it's already existed. But what Paul is talking about, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. It's more. There's more. We got more to deal with now. Remember the way of God more perfectly. Give I shall unto you a more excellent way. NIV, the most excellent way, which is always according to them, this always existed. No, that's not true. Oh, let's just do one more here. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, King James here, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Okay, now this is one of the places where Paul is given his purpose, his ministry. Okay, let's go back to NIV. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." See, now those changes don't seem important, but A, the fact that they changed them. Two, if you think about it for a couple minutes without me preaching about it, there's a difference from a vessel, from God's chosen vessel to a chosen instrument. That's not the same. To bear my name. To bear means he's going to carry his name in his life. NIV says to proclaim. You can proclaim something and still not bear it. Okay. Verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And NIV, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Not much of a difference. They just have two things here. Paul is told, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer." And NIV says nothing. Just to show how much he must suffer. And then the King James Bible says, "For my name's sake," and NIV says, "For my name." Well, how important is name? Well, you'll see later that "for his name's sake" is different than just "for his name." Things are going on today for the name of Jesus Christ, no, for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll see in another verse coming up where the word "sake" fits in. Well, we're going to stop there. This is 31 minutes, and we're going to pick it up with part two. We're going to pick it up with Acts chapter 9, verse 20. So we will see you in part two, I hope.